From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. Amid growing demand for services, mental health treatment facilities in Southwest Florida are expanding their capacity to address the needs of pediatric patients in crisis. Many of these patient admissions are through Florida's Baker Act statute, which allows for the involuntary commitment of a patient for up to 72 hours if they're deemed to be a danger to themselves or others. A closer look at Florida's Baker Act and the challenges of meeting local demand for pediatric mental health services. Plus, NASA is growing vegetables at the International Space Station through a program with roots right here in Southwest Florida. We'll explore the Sarasota-based company and Sarasota hydroponic farming operation that are helping to make space farming possible and how sustainable food production is key to advancing future manned space travel. First, this news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm John Davis. NASA has successfully grown some of the first crops in space. Last summer, astronauts on the International Space Station enjoyed a rare treat, a salad of red romaine lettuce grown locally, some 200-plus miles in orbit above Earth. The success of NASA's Veggie Project is the culmination of research and expertise that has roots right here in Southwest Florida. For the remainder of the hour, we'll be taking a closer look at NASA's Veggie Program, how it came about, and where NASA hopes it will go from here. Joining me now is Trent Smith, NASA's Project Manager for the International Space Station's Veggie Project. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much. Good day to you.
And joining us live in studio is Ed Rosenthal, developer of Florican, a controlled-release fertilizer that has helped make this project possible. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much for having us.
And also joining us by phone is Dr. Jim Demler of Sarasota's Sweetgrass Farms, which has been growing varieties of tomatoes, cabbage, and more that NASA hopes to include in future space farms. Thanks for being with us, Dr. Demler.
It's a pleasure.
And keeping a garden in zero gravity, an unusual topic, that we invite our listeners to call in and share comments and questions about here on Gulf Coast Live. Phone lines are open at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Send your thoughts online, comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media, or on Twitter, we're at WGCU. You can tweet your thoughts using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. And Trent, let's start with you. NASA has spent years making humans comfortable with extended stays in space. Now, with the Veggie Project, NASA is trying to figure out how to make plants happy while living in orbit. Tell us how the Veggie Program came about and why growing crops in space is a priority for NASA.
Well, right. So actually, we have a long history of plant growth experiments in space. And really, the difference with Veggie is we're learning to grow larger crop-style plants and then allow the astronauts to actually eat the fruits of their labor. And why that's important is as we kind of leave the cradle of Earth and go to our proving grounds around the moon and then ultimately to Mars, we're going to want to probably grow some of our food on the way. And definitely when we get there, because seeds are light and some of the vitamins don't keep. And there's really something about supplementing an astronaut's diet with fresh, nutritious food, which is really the end goal of Veggie. It's really the first step to doing that.
All right. And you know, a question for all of our guests here today. Just how exactly do you solve the problems of growing a plant in space? I mean, here on Earth, plants grow in soil.
Get a little bit closer to the microphone. That'd be good.
There's not much of that on the space station, obviously. Plants need a lot of water. That's a precious commodity in orbit. And they use gravity to push their roots down and their green parts up. But in orbit, there's really no up or down. How do you solve these problems to get healthy crops in space?
Well, we have a really clever science team, and they've developed these plant pillows, which contain a calcined clay, and they have a controlled-release fertilizer, which is where Ed comes in. And we ship that up with the seeds glued in, and then the astronauts add water. The combination of the water and the light, the shoots will grow towards the light, and the roots grow away from the light. And the combination of the water, the fertilizer, and really the trick within microgravity is the fluids are so different, water so different, and roots need air and water at the same time. And so if it's all water, then it's a flood, and you have a very unhappy plant. However, if the water is kind of balled up in the corner and the root doesn't have access to it, then it's a drought. Hmm. So getting that balance of air and water is of critical importance in the root zone. And, you know, it's just very, very difficult to get the plants to grow well and be productive in space. And that's what we're working on. And we also have to make sure that the plants are clean and safe to eat. So we have sanitizing techniques that we're working on as well.
All right. Well, Ed, I think we got a nice segue there. Tell us about the company Florican you developed and how this special fertilizer is unique. And you know what makes it particularly ideal for a project like this?
Well, we're privileged to be collaborating with NASA's Space Plant Biology Program. And for the last 5 years, NASA conducted some very rigorous research on controlled-release fertilizers. And after the research, they decided that our particular Florican controlled-release fertilizer was suited for their experiments and for their use. So our part of the veggie program is to provide the accurate formulations so that NASA is successful. We've designed two formulations that veggie uses. One is called 1868 Florican and one is called 14414 Florican. Additionally, it's our responsibility to provide the highest level of quality control, make sure the controlled release fertilizer is always the same, always identical, and we do that. And then we provide rates and different blend formulations that would be ideal for all the various plants that NASA and veggie, you know, want to grow. So our product is a polymer-coated controlled-release fertilizer, not affected very much by moisture or heat. It's a very exact, precise technology, and we think that's one of the primary reasons that NASA is using it.
And, you know, the controlled-release fertilizer that NASA is using, is this formulated the same way as, say, what you might sell to a grower here with us on Earth?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so it just happens to work well both in space and here.
It's the precision of the controlled release, irregardless of temperature or moisture stress. So, yeah, it works fine in Florida and actually all around the world. And it should be ideally suited for their conditions in space as well.
All right. And Jim, I wanted to ask you about what you've been growing at Sweetgrass Farms. You're using the same Florican fertilizer the astronauts are using, and you're growing some of the same plants. What does growing these plants on Earth, the same varieties of plants with the same resources, do for this project? How does it help?
Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to be on your show with these two distinguished scientists. I had three goals in mind once I was introduced to Ed Rosenthal and the Florican controlled release fertilizer. I had three goals. One was to apply the genius of his product to vertical hydroponics because it's simple, one application. There's very efficient conservation of labor and resources.
Hey, Trent, don't
no fertilizer pollution. Sir?
Oh, go ahead.
Can you hear me? Mm-hmm. Okay. And the plants are healthier. So that was my first goal, and I think we accomplished that because it worked beautifully. Hydroponics had already major advantages over conventional agriculture, and this just took it a step further. My second goal was to evaluate the nano-sized prill. The prill is the small nugget of fertilizer that Florican has developed. It's a smaller version of the regular size, but it's great for germination and propagation. And also the other thing that we proved was that it can actually work throughout the growing process to the harvest stage of plants. And then the third thing is realizing that one of NASA's prime objectives is to apply space research to Earthbound applications. So I wanted to evaluate their plants, and that gets to your question. We evaluated probably 25 of their designated plants, and there were four superstars that came out of that. And one is the Tokyo Bacana. It's a leaf cabbage that's actually being grown in the space station right now. The red romaine lettuce, which is called outrageous, that was grown a few months ago. And then I think they're testing one more. It's called red robin. It's a bush tomato plant, which is which is amazing. And then the other superstar was this Pluto basil. They were all unbelievable plants, and we grew those in large quantities. And you know, if I was able to provide any kind of information for NASA about biomass, about optimal growth conditions, about whatever the nutritional quality and quantity that we could prove, then that was just a side benefit of what we did. So these plants are unbelievable.
And, you know, are these plants really able to produce enough food? You know, I'm thinking about, you know, the space restrictions that you're going to have on, like, the International Space Station. A tomato plant, for instance, you know, typically needs a decent amount of room to grow. What's special about these varieties of plants that make them viable for producing enough food?
The red robin tomato is actually a dwarf tomato plant. And for space station, we're looking to supplement their diets, not replace their diets. And so when we go to Mars, eventually you'll probably have a mix of pre-positioned food and fresh-grown food. And so this is where Dr. Demler's work is very interesting with his vertical hydroponics using controlled-release fertilizer. As you stated, we have very limited volume in our habitats, albeit whether it's space station or in a habitat on Mars. So stacking and using shelves and using the volume efficiently is of critical importance. And so a dwarf tomato plant that's very productive would be great. We have to have good germination. We need to have fast growth. We need to have low microbial levels. We want to have a very compact, productive plant. And so these are the things that we really are looking after. And for a lot of the agriculture, especially for controlled environment agriculture and some of these indoor farms that are coming about, and Dr. Demler's doing this vertical hydroponics, it's very important that these plants are productive, germinate well, grow well, and of critical importance, taste good.
Right, right. Well, you're listening to Gulf Coast Live on WGCU-FM, NPR for Southwest Florida. And if people think about farming in space, you know, they may think about the movie The Martian, you know, where an astronaut gets stranded alone on Mars and improvises a potato farm to keep himself alive. You know, but that's where this project, is that where maybe that's eventually leading, a mission to Mars, maybe even crops to grow on the red planet during a manned mission to Mars? Or is that kind of just a whole other can of worms?
No, I think doing surface farming on Mars, which is about 0.38, so 38% of Earth's gravity, you will be able to use surface techniques. So the techniques that Dr. Demler's using, we could certainly use on a surface. Now, we need to do those trade studies to understand, you know, do we want to do hydroponics? Would you use the regolith as Matt Damon did in the movie? So those trade studies are open. But certainly in microgravity, it's different. Doing hydroponics in microgravity is extremely difficult. So we are using a media-based system to get our plants to grow. And really, we're learning how to grow the plants and how to eat the plants. And then you would work out crop schedules and try to use the volume more efficiently than we use veggie. Veggie is about the size of a two-drawer file cabinet. So you're going to get a little bit of lettuce or some tomatoes to supplement your diet, maybe some lettuce to make a wrap, or use the cabbage, the Tokyo Bacana. But those are the types of things we're looking for. But certainly, we're looking to produce more and more food over time.
All right. And, you know, just in terms of that, you know, future manned mission to Mars, what are NASA's plans in that regard? Is there a realistic time frame we're looking at this point? And how will Ed's Rosenthal's fertilizer and Jim's farms contribute to those plans?
Right. So we are definitely working for a journey to Mars with our NASA astronauts and understanding the nutritional needs of the plants. I mean, fertilizer is going to have some weight to it. So some of the technologies that we're going to devise is, how do you recycle those nutrients? You're going to have kind of a starting pool of nutrients that you work with, but how can you get those back and recycle those to the plants? And so there's a number of methods that one can use to do that. So we need to figure out what will work on the surface and in microgravity. And one of the things I didn't mention was the importance of psychological benefits of growing plants in space. That's the one connection that the astronauts have back to the Earth. They can't just go out for a walk in the woods. Well, they can, but they got to put on their spacesuit and they go in the vacuum of space. So really, that connection back home to Earth and watching something grow over time is, I think, very important for the astronauts. And I think it will be even more important as they see Earth get smaller and smaller on their way to Mars.
I can certainly understand that. I know if I spend too much time in a, you know, quote-unquote concrete jungle, you know, you get a little antsy, but I can't imagine what that's like in a, you know, space. But looking a little closer to, oh, go ahead, Ed, you wanted to say something?
Well, I just want to make a comment that one of the key things in the Floracan technology is the low salt index. We work very hard to make the nutrients that are available to the plant readily available. So we keep a very low salt index, so there's no damage to the root systems. The last thing you want is to go through all this time and labor, and then you have a plant that suddenly has salt around the roots and it doesn't grow. That's not an option, and Floracan's product does not do that. So it's a very important part of the technology. Our nutrients are all readily available from the Floracan technology. They're homogeneous in a prill, micronutrients, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, all in one prill and all coated. And one more thing that's important is we have a 180-day, a 270-day, a 360-day, so one application, and you can have multiple harvest impacts. You can harvest once, and then you can plant again and harvest again over the whole 9-month release, for example.
Right, and that actually leads into a harvest technique we're testing right now. We're going to harvest on Thursdays. It's called cut and come again. And that will hopefully be the next type of harvest technique our astronauts use, and that's where you take a little bit of the leaves every week or so, and so they'll have a little bit of salad every week or maybe a wrap, and then at the end of some period of time, then they'll harvest the whole plant.
Right. That's what I was suggesting with a 180-day product, because a 180-day Floracan product is longer than the regular vegetable crop cycle, which is approximately 30, 45 days. So here they could possibly get three or more harvests out of the single application. And, you know, if it's a Floracan controlled release fertilizer, that will result.
All right, all right. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time for today's program, but I want to thank my guests, Trent Smith from the Kennedy Space Center and project manager for NASA's VEGGIE program on board the International Space Station, Ed Rosenthal, the developer of the Floracan controlled release fertilizer NASA is using to grow those vegetables in space, and Dr. Jem Demler with Sarasota's Sweetgrass Farms. Thank you all for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And that is all the time we have for today's show. There's more information on this and past episodes of the program online at wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. You can also continue today's conversation on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media and on Twitter using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. Thanks to my producers today, Richard Cheng Kui, AJ Leonard, Tara Callaghan, and Matthew Smith. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.